If you do not each forgive your brothers from your heart, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear friends in Christ, in the epistle today, we are given the sure remedy to win this battle that we are in. And yes, we are in a battle, a spiritual battle. But the battle is really not up to the enemy, it's up to us. It's up to our decisions. St. Paul tells us in the epistle what we must do to combat the enemy, to be able to shield ourselves from the fiery darts. And the very last part of the epistle, we are told, and take unto you the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, that is the word of God. And we know the written word of God is sacred scripture. And today we are given the gospel of the parable of the talents. Now, before we dive into meditating on the gospel a little deeper, I'd like to tell you a story. There was once a young man who had a father who was very rich. But this young man had given way to not a very good type of life. He was into drugs, alcohol, partying. There's a certain drug that he was taking that was very dangerous. And his father, being very concerned and loving his son, sat him down one day and tried to reason with him and give him motivation for giving up this dangerous way of life. Told him, son, usually only after the parents die that the inheritance is given. I have plenty. I have so much. I can't use it all. But I'll give it to you. And then when I die, I'll give the rest of it to you. All you have to do is give up the drug. Just give it up. Stop taking it. And to the astonishment of the father, the son said, I don't think I can do that. Son, I'm going to give you an amazing amount of wealth, and you can live a good life. You can get the help that you need, and you won't even have to work. And he would not. He would not let go of that drug. Well, as fate would have it, the son died before the father on account of the way that he was living, to the sadness of the father. But what would you think of such a man? One condition, let go of something that's already destroying you. And he would not. There's one stipulation the Lord gives us where it concerns forgiveness for our sins. Okay, first off, let's try to understand what sin is. Lots of times people make sin about themselves, too much about themselves, and it's something that you've done to God. Sin is an offense against God. A mortal sin is where you distance yourself from God absolutely, and you're saying to him, yeah, I know you offered heaven, but I choose hell. The great act of ingratitude. Venial sin, we take it too lightly, I think. Venial sin still offends God. Imagine someone going up to somebody else and punching them full force for no reason, just because they were angry or because they were frustrated or whatever. Someone comes up, what did you do that for? He goes, what are you talking about? I didn't kill him. I only punched him. Yeah, but did he deserve it? Who cares? I didn't kill him. Well, it's the same type of attitude that we have where it concerns venial sin and mortal sin. Well, it's only a venial sin. It's only a minor offense against God. No, it's an offense against God. This is where we have to take a serious look about our relationship with God. If we have maybe not, I guess I have to do this. We come to church because it's an obligation, not because it's a want to be with God. It's all about our attitude. Attitude is a choice, and a good attitude is a good choice. And in order to have a good attitude, we need to recognize things for what they really are, not the way we think things are. Things for what they really are. Now, let's get back to the gospel. We go to confession. We are guilty, if not the fires of hell, at least the fires of purgatory, if we have sinned venially. If we sin mortally, well, we are totally blocked off from our true home, which is heaven. Not that the good Lord blocked us off. We have turned our back on him, and we have walked away from him. And when we make that decision, of and by ourselves, we can't turn back. It's impossible. We have to ask to be let back. We have to apologize. We have to make an act of contrition. And the good Lord tells us when we go to confession, even if we have an imperfect contrition, he tells us, all right, I'll forgive your debt. I'll forgive your debt on one condition, that you forgive your neighbor from your hearts. Any offense, real or imagined, most often our offenses that we get from our neighbor are imagined, bigger in our head than they really are. But you're supposed to forgive them, not for your neighbor's sake, not for your own sake, but for God's sake. Forgive. That's all I ask. I'll forgive your debt. You forgive your neighbor's debt. Yet you've offended me infinitely. Your neighbor offended you in a small way in comparison. Just forgive your neighbor and I'll forgive you. When our Lord was asked by his apostles to teach them to pray, that's one of the things we find in that prayer. Forgive us as we forgive those. But how many will not? I will not. I'm going to hold that person to that thing. I'm going to hold it against that person. We have a hatred in our heart, and we wonder why we're consumed by it. It's like a drug. It's going to kill us. You cannot have the love of God in your heart if you have a hatred that is there. The two don't collaborate. They do not fit in the same space. Love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, strength, and will, and love your neighbor as yourself for the love of God. The two great commandments upon which are all the prophets and prophecies and commands. The whole law is based up on those two commandments. But you know what, my dear friends in Christ, it takes a moment. It takes this moment to start. Our Lord shows us how easy it is to forgive and how easily he forgives us when we go to confession. We apologize, we're sorry, and like the father of the prodigal son, even though we haven't made it all the way home, he runs out to us, forgives us and embraces us and takes us back in. The best way that we can show our gratitude to the good Lord for what he does for us, especially when we know we don't deserve it, is to do the very little that he asks, especially towards our neighbor. Remembering his words, what you do to the least of my brethren, you do to me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.